Hello, and welcome to the Tea with Tresetta podcast. I invite you to join me each week where I'll share the training, encouragement, and answers you need to be successful in your purpose, as well as interview some awesome women of faith walking fully in their God-given purpose through entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Tresetta Alexander, faith-based business coach and founder of Sister Spotters. I believe you can be wildly successful without competing or compromising your beliefs. Let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of Tea with Tresetta. I'm your host, Tresetta Alexander, faith-based business coach and motivational speaker. Before we dive into this week's episode, I want to remind you that the 5-day business plan challenge starts this Sunday, August the 18th. So if you have not written a business plan, you've been in business for over a year and just never got around to writing your business plan, or maybe you're struggling to attract some paying clients to your business, perhaps maybe you even have a business idea and you're ready to launch, but get a little overwhelmed trying to decide where to get started. If any of those things sound like you, then this challenge is for you. Now, here's what we're going to be covering. We're going to be covering the 5 P's of a business, of a solid business plan. We're going to be talking about the big picture. So writing that vision, making it plain so that you are clear about where it is that you're going. We're going to talk about processes, setting up different systems and structures so that you can make sure that you are treating your business like a business. We'll talk about people, by clearly identifying your ideal customer and what they really want, you're going to be able to ensure the financial success of your business. Then we'll map out your revenue funnel by talking about the products and services that your customers really, really want. And we'll close out talking about promotion. So marketing and promotion are crucial elements to your business, and it really doesn't matter how good your products and services are. If no one knows about it, then you will not be able to make any money in your business. And of course, that is one of the main goals of going into business, is to make money. Otherwise, you just have an expensive hobby. So if that sounds like something that you're interested in and you're ready to get started on writing your business plan, or even want to revisit it, head on over to TresettaAlexander.com/BP Challenge to get signed up. It's totally free and you're not going to be alone in this process. I'll be walking you through it as well as all the other challenge participants. So I hope to see you inside the challenge. Now, I am super excited to share with you today's guest because she is a very special person in my life. It is Dr. Lacey Robbins, who is a dear friend of mine, and she is also my business bestie. And so I'm super excited to have you all sit down and kind of listen in on our conversation. We had a really great talk, really great chat, and we talked about how we can have it all as women leaders. We talked about how she was inspired to keep pushing forward and actually obtain her doctorate degree, even though she wanted to give up after finding a picture of her great, 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 great aunt who was born a slave but died free. And so that led us to get into a little bit of a heavy topic and talking about slavery and the slavery mentality. And then we closed out our conversation talking about how you can get clarity in your purpose. And so, and we talked about quite a few other things in between. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please feel free to share this episode with other women leaders who may be interested in hearing all about how to have it all. So let's go ahead and dive on in. Dr. Lacey, hey, welcome to Tea with Tresetta.
Hello, hello.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. Y'all, this is my business bestie, my
Yes, I'm
accountability
super
partner.
excited. Yes.
What a journey we have been on for the last coming up on a year now.
Coming up on a year for sure. Yeah, it's like our anniversary.
I know. No, Hercules, Hercules.
Right. It's been an amazing growth process more
Yes,
than anything, but it's definitely been awesome.
it's been really cool to see each other's growth, right? To be there through the to witness someone step into who they were created to be is an amazing thing to watch, an amazing journey. And it has been a joy and a pleasure to watch you just bloom and blossom
Thank
into.
you. Ditto that. And just leaps, quantum leaps for everyone, right?
Yes, of
Awesome.
course, of course. So, all right. I promise to all you listeners, we're not going to be this lovey-dovey, super sappy the entire show. Well, you never know. Look, I'm going to forewarn everyone that we have our outline, the traditional interview questions that I ask all my guests, but this is a no-holds-barred episode, so it's no telling where the Holy Spirit's going to lead us tonight. But I do want to go ahead and start with our rapid fire questions so that the audience can get to know you a little bit and we can get further warmed up because I think we're already warmed up. We've been talking all day anyway.
That is true. That is
All
true.
right. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do
Okay. Where'd you grow up?
it. I grew up in two cities. First, I was born in Tucson, Arizona. And we lived there till I was 9, and then we moved to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's where my mom was born and raised. All of her family lived here. And I stayed here until it was time to go to university. So I always say, Milwaukee is definitely home because that's where my family is now, although I've lived literally all over the world.
Yes, I know. And I, of course, the follow-up question is, where do you live now? But you already kind of gave us that hint, and I already know that you're right back in Milwaukee. So let me see, let's do a twist on this question then. What's the most interesting city that you lived in?
The most interesting city that I lived in. Let's see. Well, I will have to say it is Florence, Italy. So that's not technically just solely city, but definitely country as well. But Florence, Italy was one of the most interesting places to live, partly because of all of the art. And I mean, just art was everywhere you looked, just walking down the street, the way the cobblestone was mashed and paired together. You might walk around the corner and people would say, "Oh, this was once a studio for Dante or, Leonardo da Vinci or whomever." And just the art period of the current people that live there now, the constant singing, anyone, and then of course the food, that's like a default, right? But anyone who has a desire for culture or enjoys culture, it definitely was an ideal place to live. And I moved there from Nashville, Tennessee. So went to University of Nashville, stayed there for about 15 years. Definitely love Nashville, love getting back when I can. Still have lots of friends that live there. But yeah, so now I'm back in Milwaukee with my family and my husband, and it's good times, although winter lasts for like 9 months and summer lasts for about a week.
Well, that's kind of like how Florida is, just in reverse. So summer lasts for 9 months and winter lasts for about a week. If we get a winter, that is.
Wow, that sounds wonderful.
Well, maybe we can trade places for that like 1 week, you
Right, that'd be awesome.
know? Okay. What? Okay, this is the Tea with Trisetta podcast. And normally I share with the audience what I'm drinking, what tea I'm drinking. And tonight I am actually not drinking tea. I am drinking,
Carito.
yes, the mango soda. So
Yummy.
my husband and I joke and he calls these, because they're the bottle, he calls them my beers. So he's always
like, you want a beer? I was like, yes, I would like to have a beer. So when I've had a hard day, I go pop me a mango beer.
Yes, that's so perfect.
What is your favorite drink?
So it probably depends on the time of the day, but I definitely, I'm drinking my water right now. Mm-hmm. Getting my water in. I'm 100% a water girl. I drink water all day, but I also really enjoy a nice cup of coffee. Yes. That is just black and plain. You know, I don't put all the
black and plain, but I do love a good cup of coffee.
So, you know, if I do get something like a coconut mocha macchiato, coconut milk mocha macchiato is like my go-to if I'm going to have like a sweet treat. And so I might get something like that for like dessert, right? If I've been out running around, my husband, I've gone to a late dinner or something, and I might get something like that for dessert. But most times if I'm going to have a hot drink, it'll either be coffee or it might be like a ginger tea. But tonight I'm just drinking good old H2O.
Water is essential to our health, for our cells to do all the work that they need to do. So absolutely. I'm definitely a proponent for water. Matter of fact, I had to finish my water for the day before I could have my soda. So that's how I treat myself. What's your favorite pastime?
Ooh, that's tough. So my favorite pastime has definitely changed over time. Once upon a time, I was a really big runner. I loved running, going out for a quick run early in the morning, had a hard day, go for a run. But, you know, as I've seasoned, my body just does not allow for those long runs anymore. So I definitely like going for a walk, anything out in nature, and reading. I really enjoy reading as well because I love to learn new things. I'm not a fan of fiction, but I love reading anything like nonfiction, mm-hmm. home improvement, self-improvement, anything that's going to help to with that personal development.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the perfect segue into our final rapid fire question, which is what book has had the greatest impact on your life?
Oh my gosh. Well, aside from the Bible, of course, I would actually say Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye. And part of the reason why I say that is I read The Bluest Eye when I was in high school. I believe it might have been our freshman year of high school. We had to it was the senior year, but one of the years, it doesn't matter. I was in high school, and I remember just the way that Morrison would string the words together, the visualization of it. I mean, it's a very sad story as you read through it, but the way that she was able to just compose the words, and, you know, for some people it can feel very flowery, but I really enjoy just how she put the narrative together, right? I remember even at one point thinking to myself, perhaps I'll become a writer. And I am an author, but even to the point of, but I haven't written anything that was nonfiction, right? I mean, excuse me, anything that was fiction, but everything that I've posed has been nonfiction. But I really enjoyed that particular book, and it still stuck with me. I think another book, which I know I'm kind of breaking the rules by answering
You're
two
fine.
Questions, would be The Dream Giver by Bruce Wilkinson. It's a book that I use with my clients all the time. It's one when I quit my job from being an elementary school principal after 6 years and made that decision, that leap to move to Florence, Italy. My best friend from university, we're still good friends to this day, over 25 years of friendship. She gave me a copy of this book, The Dream Giver. And I remember just reading this book, and it was such an affirmation to the decision I had made. So for your listeners, I highly recommend it. I use it with my clients all the time. And it's just one that reminds you that it's okay to dream big. And if you don't dream awesome. Big, how you could really have the pain of missing out on that dream.
I love it. I will put links to both of those books in the show notes. So if any of our listeners want to grab a copy, I'll have the link for you to go and grab both of those books. So awesome. You kind of already started sharing a little bit of your story And how, you know, you were making that transition, how the Dream Giver was helpful in your transition in your career. Well, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your business and how you actually got into what you're currently doing. I don't want to give it away and tell everyone.
Sure. So for me, I love to be able to see women be successful in leadership and in life. Oftentimes we think, or we've been sold the notion that you can't have it all. But in actuality, I believe that a woman can have it all. It's all in how it's been designed. And so my space is a leadership and development consultant. I help women leaders through curated events and customized coaching to really be able to find that work-life balance, that work-life effectiveness, understanding that, in fact, yes, you can have it all, but it's all in how you decide to design it. And oftentimes we buy into this notion of the only way to have it is how someone else has defined it for us, but we can actually define it for ourselves. And so part of the way that I arrived into this space was even my own journey. I was a former first grade, third grade teacher, elementary school principal. And I remember being a school principal and thinking, is this it? Is this the period? And I knew that there was something more for me, right? So instead of taking the period, I put a comma. And that's where I elected to move across, you know, to a whole nother country to connect with myself. Being there, connecting with myself, allowed me to realize that, you know, doing that inner work allowed me to show up to be a better individual to the world around me. And so I'm very blessed and fortunate to be able to do the same in guiding other women, because not everybody can, you know, sell everything and move to another country. I mean, it's right. Not possible. But what you can do is you can make the decision that, yes, this is how my life can now look. I can determine that for myself.
I love it. So you basically had your own eat, pray, love story.
Yes. It's so funny because when I literally received multiple copies of that book as a gift. I had, you know, someone share, "You're Elizabeth Gilbert." I'm like, who is that? But yes, I, to some degree, yes. although my love was a little bit more extended until I came back to the United States. But yes, it definitely was that kind of experience.
That's awesome. So, of course, I know that that transition was not an easy one. And there have been probably many obstacles that you have had to overcome in your journey to your purpose. So share with us something that monumental or kind of that most pivotal one that has made all the difference in your life.
Let's see. I think for me, there are a couple of points that I've noticed, like those little leaps, right? Mm-hmm. So I actually have both a master's and a doctorate degree in leadership, but the doctorate almost didn't happen. And so I had reached a point, and any of your listeners who've been in any sort of collegiate advanced degree program or really any time in life, you hit a point when you hit that wall.
Yes.
And I had hit the wall and I was done with the university. I was done with my readers, my professor. I had made an appointment with the dean. I was like, I am over it. I'm done. I quit. And I was so frustrated with the whole process. And I remember having a conversation with my grandfather, who's now been deceased for several years. But he said to me, he said, "Well, Lacey, you know, the thing about Jackie Robinson," and, you know, at this time, my grandfather's a little older. So I'm thinking, well, yeah. And in my mind, I'm like, where in the world is he going with this whole Jackie Robinson thing? He said, "Well, you know why they always tried to strike him out? Do you?" And I said, "Well, no, Grandpa, you know, why do they always try to strike Jackie Robinson out? You know, why, what happened?" type of thing. Because of course, I'm going to be the respectful granddaughter. And he said, "The thing about Jackie Robinson is they knew if he made it to first, he was going to steal second." And so again, my mind is turning because I'm like, well, where is this going? What does he mean exactly?
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, Lacey, you're already on first. Go ahead and still second.
Wow.
And so, right. I was like, okay. So, but that still wasn't enough. Believe it or not, that was not enough for me because I was still like, okay, Grandpa, I hear what you're saying, but you just don't understand, right? Because I was so frustrated by the experience. So again, I had made the appointment with the Dean of Education. I was ready to drop out. I was over the program. I was done. And I was cleaning up my office because I'm done with this program. So let me get everything organized. And I came across a picture of Anna Bennett Thompson. She was my great, 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 great aunt. She was born a slave and she died free.
Wow.
And when I came across that picture that my great aunt had given to me of her, it really clicked for me. Like, Lacey, you are not here by yourself. You did not get here on your own. You are literally standing on the shoulders, the dreams of your ancestors. Girl, get it together. What is wrong with you, right?
Yeah.
And so it was, I mean, the fact that I even came across her picture, it was tucked away up underneath some papers. And so on, like, to me, that was a true God moment, right?
Right, right.
And it was like, I saw that picture, I picked it up, and I literally was like, okay, I got it. I understand. And it was just like this peace. And I still met with the dean. I expressed to her, you know, my frustration. She gave me some serious accountability as well, where I was missing the mark in my role. And I finished. I was the last one in my cohort to defend. I was one of the last people in my cohort to get everything in. But I graduated with my cohort. I graduated with my class. I still finished. I'm officially Dr. Lacey Coppins Robbins. And it has been that way for 10 years this past May.
That's
and
so
I really
awesome.
Like, I attribute those to that instance to pushing me to that next place.
That's so awesome. You know, I really want to draw out something that you said, that when you saw the picture, you realized that you were not alone. And one of the things that I'm consistently sharing when I'm teaching, especially when it comes to this journey of entrepreneurship or this journey in your purpose, is that you cannot be successful alone. It is impossible for you to be successful alone. There are people who have gone before you, who have paved the way, or who have had an influence and an impact on your life that have propelled you into your divine destiny. And so to say that you got somewhere on your own is really sacrilege. You know, it is, because it's impossible for you to get somewhere, to any place of success on your own. So anyone who is, if you're a teacher, you need students in order for you to be successful as a teacher. If you are a pastor, you need a congregation to be successful as a pastor. As a business owner, you need clients and customers in order for you to be successful. So you cannot be successful on your own. And so I love the fact that seeing that image of your great, 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 how many greats was it? Four?
It was four greats, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Aunt, who in your lineage made a shift,
yeah,
right? Moved from one station mm-hmm. in life into another and set the course for you to be where you are today.
Yes. And when we think about it, you know, we're really not that far from enslaved people, right? Like, if we just go back, okay, so our parents, they went through a segregated Jim Crow South, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our grandparents definitely dealt with discrimination. You know, this is when, like, King was coming up on the scene type of thing. Some people saw him as a troublemaker. Others saw him as a hero. Same with Malcolm X. And then, you know, that's also the generation that was cleaning houses. Yeah. And this was a good job, and working at a factory, and that was a good job, right? That's that World War II. And then if we go back to our great-grandparents, well, am I a man? We have all of that happening at the time, right? And so you're dealing almost still with like voter discrimination. I mean, we don't have to go back that far on the timeline to see really how far we've come forward. And obviously we are still struggling in today's time with challenges, you know, gender, race, and we have a choice as to how we're going to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, even my father, when he went to college as an undergrad, he was the first group. He was in the first group of Black students to integrate the University of Texas.
Wow.
And So, you know, this is my father.
Right.
You know, this is not my grandfather. You know, right. Or great grandfather. This is my father. And so, you know, you're right. We don't have to go back very far to mm-hmm. see that shift. But as well, I feel like we're still, as a ethnic population, I feel like we are still in slavery. Mm-hmm. Even though we are free, in the physical sense, there's still that slavery mentality that has held people for so long, because that's, you know, the people who came out of slavery and then, you know, were raising children, they didn't know anything else. So it's just kind of like the children of Israel when they were delivered from Egypt, you know, they still wanted garlic and onions because they didn't know how to be free.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting into a really heavy topic here.
Right.
But I think it's one that needs to be had.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And even if there's an enslavement in our mindset.
Yes.
You know, there's this entitlement demon that is so strong.
Yes.
Whew, merciful. And be it in this, everyone likes to say this millennial generation, and they like to rag on the millennials. I actually really enjoy working with millennials. And part of the reason is they're one of the first groups who are actually negotiating for what they want and getting it.
Yeah.
They're one of the first generations who are actually, one, taking the time to negotiate, one, as women, and two, getting what they're asking for.
Yeah.
Right? But that entitlement demon, that it doesn't matter which generation that you're in. And so some of that is coming from not the person per se, but the broken mindset that the individual has.
Yes.
So, and entitlement a lot of times is rooted in either insecurity or victim mentality.
Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, my mind just went completely blank in what I wanted to say. But I do want to say, you know, mindset, I think that is the biggest hurdle, the biggest obstacle that we have to overcome, or the thing that we have to work on the most, the heaviest, when it comes to actually breaking out into our purpose, because there are so many blocks, and we all have our own, you know, there's no one size fits all approach to mindset, because we all have our own little blocks based on the way we were raised and the people who were around us and all that. And so you have to put in the work. You have to put in the work in order for you to actually show up, because one of the things that I talk about all the time is that, you know, the scripture in 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And your soul acts as the thermostat for the level of success and abundance that you have in your life. And wherever, whatever your soul can handle, that's where you'll stay. Until you do things to kind of push those barriers, that you do that personal development and professional development to push those boundaries and break off some of those things that some of that slave mentality that still is perpetuated in our lineage. And so it's only when you put in the work and start to change that narrative in your mindset that you're then able to raise the bar in your level of success or in your soul so that you can increase your capacity for more. What I know that's mindset is one of your things too. What are you, what were you going to say?
I just was going to say that when it comes to mindset or anything, I like to, instead of thinking of it as work, because most times we hear work and we think drudgery, right?
Right,
true. Oh, this is going to be arduous. It's going to be labor intensive. I like to think of it instead as commitment. What commitment am I willing to make to myself? What commitment am I willing to make to my personal growth? What commitment am I willing to make to this thermostat that I know has been entrusted within me to grow? You know, what commitment am I willing to make to my own personal destiny, even if I don't think about myself? What about my legacy?
Yes.
What commitment am I willing to make to my legacy, to the next generation that's coming behind me, be it your own, in your own household with your family and children, or be it with that woman who's coming in, or man, to, you know, into that organization that you work with them? Because for me personally now, I primarily work with women leaders.
Right.
However, every once in a while, a couple of smart men get in there too. Because they know, like, oh, I want to work with her, right? And the thing that I often recall, and I would say, is this is an opportunity. My fingerprint is upon your life.
Wow.
I don't take that lightly. When I was a teacher, principal, working as an executive director for a nonprofit organization, this role now as a consultant, every single moment that you're interacting with someone else, your fingerprint is now upon their life. Now think about that for a moment. When we think of fingerprints, we know that there's a certain degree of oil that's within those fingerprints, right?
Right.
That's what makes the print to stay behind. We each also have our own individualized fingerprint as well. Your print that you leave on someone's life, it could either be one that's of like process and precise care, or it can be a smudge.
That's so good.
So many times we're smudging over people, right? They don't live up to our standard. They aren't operating in the place that we think they should be. They haven't risen to my level, quote unquote, right? And so we're smudging by them, because surely for me to take the time to give them this precise moment of care isn't enough, because that's taking away from me.
Right.
It's this, you know, almost a concentric loop of sort where we're right back to this entitlement. And so what we need to realize is, it's just like Christ. If we take the time to pour into someone else, if we seek him first, Matthew tells us,
yes,
his kingdom, his righteousness, all other things, all the other stuff that you think you want will be added unto it. Psalms tells us, you know, if we delight in him, he would give us the desires of our heart.
Right.
That's our role. We don't have to worry about like, well, what's the end going to be? Our focus needs to be on the kingdom. When we build his kingdom and he gets the glory, he can't help but want to bless his daughter, son.
That's right.
He's looking for ways, right? But oftentimes we are missing the opportunity to be a blessing to someone else, to take the time to allow our fingerprint, which is really his print, to be upon someone else's life.
That is so good. You know, I literally just read that scripture this morning. I was in the book of Matthew this morning and literally just read that specific scripture. I mean, I read the whole chapter, but that contains that scripture that says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness and all these things, all the things that you desire in this life will be added to you when you first do what God instructs you to do, right? We are so busy chasing after the success, chasing after the dollar. And unfortunately, you know, this thing is rigged. You know, Satan, the enemy, is constantly changing the rules of engagement. He's constantly moving the finish line. And so you can never actually, when you're seeking after the thing, it will always be elusive to you. But when you're seeking after the things of the kingdom, then that's when the blessing of God comes and overtakes you, because you're not even looking for it. You're so busy being obedient to what he called you to do that all of a sudden you're like, oh, where'd this blessing come from? Oh, where'd this blessing come from? You know, it's like, because you're so busy, so focused on doing kingdom work, serving, showing up, being of value to others, that because what you're doing is sowing.
Yeah.
You're sowing. And that's, you know, I believe it's Isaac Newton, who gave us the principle of, is it the theory of relativity, where it's for every action, there is
an equal reaction?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so for everything that we do in service to God, it always comes back to us.
It does.
It comes back more.
Yes, you took the words right out of my mouth. Yes, it comes back, you know, 10, 20, 100 fold blessings, manifold blessings upon us. And I think that's what's just so beautiful about it. You know, we don't have to worry about tomorrow, right?
Right.
If he cares for the ravens, what more would he do for us?
Right.
For the birds of the air, what more would he do for his children? And so, you know, I think that's also one of the things that I work to teach women or my clients, is that you can connect your walk with God into your daily process. Yes. Now, you don't necessarily, we know there are guidelines, restrictions, so on and so forth. So no, you may not be in there postulizing chapter and verse, and you shouldn't have to. My grandfather used to say, you might be the only Jesus someone ever meets.
Right.
They should be able to read the full Bible, a sermon, just by your life, how you live your life. We are to be that model.
Yes.
Right? Have the heart of Christ. We are to show love. That's our whole responsibility.
It sure is. It sure is. This conversation is actually a really good segue into my next question, which is, how does faith, or your faith, play a role in your business?
So faith in my business, one, it starts with me, right? Because sometimes the enemy is actually the inner me.
Wow. I love that.
That's that mindset again, right? And so it has to start with me. And oftentimes, my husband says all the time, he's a pastor, and he says all the time how the message always hits the messenger first. And so it's so interesting to me when I have a client and they're having an experience, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I literally just went through this last week, or I literally am dealing with that right now, or I remember that from a few years ago. And so it's great because it gives me a point of reference and perspective to be able to share with them. Not saying that, you know, all of my experiences are the ideal and how I responded to them, but it gives them a point of reference so that they know you're not alone.
Right.
I think another thing would be, like, I actually pray for my clients. Now, not all of my clients are believers. They're not all believers. However, that does not keep me from praying for them. That does not keep me from being able to still show the love of Jesus, the heart of Christ with them.
Right.
And it's interesting because I will always invite, you know, clients, oh, come, you know, please feel free to come and join me at church. Or, you know, I might reference something that I read or that was preached about in a Sunday service. If you're following me on social, you know, it's not hidden.
Right.
It's going to be shared.
Right.
And so who I am is one of the major ways in which faith shows up in my business.
That's so good. And well, you know, I'm a faith-based business coach. So it's my faith is completely integrated in my business. And I actually struggled with that for a little while because, you know, I kind of teetered the fence with how much do I share. I kind of felt like I was torn a little bit. And then I really felt led of the Lord last summer to just make the full shift. Mm-hmm. And because I felt like what I needed in the marketplace, I was having a hard time finding. And now, mm-hmm. of course, now that I'm showing up, I'm seeing more coaches who are faith-based business coaches mm-hmm. or Christian coaches and really integrate faith and biblical principles in their coaching. But at the time that I was searching for someone,
right,
I didn't see that person. And so, right. You know, faith, when you are a true believer, you know, just like what you were saying, you cannot separate who you are from what you do. And I think a lot of people think when they think about ministry, they think about, you know, just like our husbands, you know, as pastors, that pulpit ministry or kind of missionary work or outreach ministry. And they don't really think about business as being ministry. And, you know, personally, I believe that no matter what you are called to do, whether it is to be a CEO of a company, a politician, a teacher, or a pastor, no matter what it is that you're called to do, that is your ministry.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. Yeah.
And so in order for you to be successful in that, you have to show up in your true authentic self.
Absolutely.
And you know, there is no separation from, you know, the Christian you and the worker that shows up in the marketplace or mm-hmm. the business owner that shows up in the marketplace. It's one and the same. There should be no separation. It should look the same.
Right.
Let's see, what advice, as we're starting to kind of wind down here, what advice do you have for women who want to start their own business?
Well, I would honestly, it's so interesting you ask that question because we started there with the fact that you cannot do it alone.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of times people think, well, I want to start a business, but I can't afford fill in the blank. So I'm just going to do it myself. But what they don't realize is you trying to do everything by yourself is actually costing you more money than if you actually hire someone's talent. So let's take, for example, one of the very first things people feel like they need when they start a business is a website. I'm going to build my own website. So you now spend countless hours Yes. on YouTube, watching the tutorials of whichever platform you're using to build your website. And you could have, which if you really calculate the amount of time and what your time is worth, you're actually hustling backwards and Yes. you're losing money, right?
Yes. And
whereas you could have just hired someone to create your website and now boom, there it is. And you are quote unquote in business. And so one piece of advice that I often share is get really clear on who it is you want to serve and what you want to do, but also recognize that that's going to evolve and realize that you don't have to do it all yourself. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't say one of the people that's on your team needs to be a coach.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true that there is an evolutionary process that you go through in this journey called entrepreneurship. In fact, the last interview that I did with the online travel boss, Sunday Gardner, our fellow platform sister, we got into that same conversation about clarity and how Sunday was sharing how it took her about 3 years to finally get the clarity. And I was like, you know, I'm coming up on 3 years and I'm just now kind of getting to that space of where I'm really clear and where I'm going. And that's really the truth about just about every business that's out there. You know, Airbnb didn't start out as Airbnb. I can't remember what it started out as. But it did not start out as Airbnb. So there's a lot of things. I think even Uber started out as something else. So there's all these companies where they start out with one product and they go, you know, they put it out there, do their testing, and then it evolves, it morphs over time as they get feedback.
Yeah.
As they get feedback from the marketplace. And so there is an evolutionary process that you go through. But what would you say to that woman who doesn't have the clarity and is waiting on the clarity to come before she steps out?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think one of the things is to start to do some what we call social listening, right?
Okay.
So if you know, okay, I want to start a business, but I have no idea where to begin, but I know I want to start a business. You know, I always encourage people, get in your journal, start to journal, and just start making a list. What is it you enjoy? What is it that you enjoy doing, right? So I can't remember the gentleman's first name, but Kathy, I believe, is the last name, who started Chick-fil-A. So he was apparently in the hospital, like laid up, and he started just kind of having a brainstorm. What is it that I like? What is it that I enjoy? And out of that, he was like, I like chicken sandwiches. I'm an open chicken restaurant. And it was literally like just that simple. We had on a family reunion a couple of years ago, we toured Chick-fil-A because I have a family member that works for them in Atlanta. And like to hear the story of Chick-fil-A, and you know, regardless of where people might feel as far as the organization is concerned, but it was something just that simple, right? Wow. And so I think like also, you have your journal, you're making your list. What is it you enjoy doing? But also take a look at what is it that people are coming to you for? What are they always asking you? Is it, can you hem this for me? Can you sew this button on for me? Or you make the best cakes. Can you make a cake for my family's, you know, Sunday dinner? Or you have the best advice, or you say you've been married for 20 years. What is it we should do? Like start to look, what is the advice that they're coming to you for?
Yeah.
Because that advice also tells you your area of expertise. For me, this is exactly what happened. This is a fast story. Okay. For me, I as an executive director for a nonprofit company, and even before then, was traveling across the country speaking, you know, teaching, offering trainings and such. And my husband said to me, Lacey, you are doing this for everybody else. Why not do it for yourself? You're all over the country. Why not do this for yourself? And I kind of was like, oh, whatever, you know, like, what do you know, right? And I just kind of brushed it off and discounted. I was like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. And like this, it was almost like the rainstorm where it was like little drops, right? So then I had a fellow executive director say to me, we had met for like breakfast or whatever. Like, so you do such an awesome job. I love being able to connect with you. You know, you always have so many great ideas. You're just such a connector. I was like, oh, thank you. Then I had a second executive director woman say the almost exact same thing to me.
Wow.
And added, you need to do something where you just bring us all together. And I said, really? You think so? By the fourth woman who came to me saying these exact same things, I was like, okay, God, I got it. I'm listening. I understand. So between my husband and these four women, it was like the rainstorm, right? So it's like, here's a little drop, and then here's the torrential downpour. Are you going to listen to what I'm telling you? So the signs will be there. You just have to pause to listen to them. But then once you hear them, you need to acknowledge them and make the decision to move forward in them. Because the thing that we have to remember, and this would be one of the last pieces of advice that I would give an individual who's trying to decide, what is it, right? They're doing this whole double dutch thing. If you do not take the time to explore the vision, the dream that the Father has given you, if you do not take the time to exercise that dream, to explore it, launch out, go for it, try it, He will surely bring that dream to someone else, because what is supposed to be manifested into this world has to come forth.
That's right. That's right.
So it can either come forth through you or someone else, but God's going to bring it into this life, into this world.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, well, okay, Lord, I'm listening. So that's where the curated events came from. And so these curated events that I create for women, they come from all over. It's an opportunity for really high power women to step into a room and to be able to let their hair down, to be able to laugh, to be able to exchange stories, to have, you know, dynamic conversations or just frivolous ones, right? It's just a time that we can come and have a great meal and socialize and just be women, because so many times when you step into the boardroom, you take on this whole other persona, right? Well, here you simply can just, I don't have to be Dr. Roberts. Right, I can just be Lacey, right? And the same thing with my, you know, customized coaching that I offer for these women. There's 7 pitfalls of women for women leaders. So which one is possibly holding you back? Let's explore that, right? Let's plug into this Nest continuum and figure out, this is a proprietary method that was a download from the Father of how you can take people through to come out on other of a learning continuum to come out on the other end of success.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't have happened if I had not taken the time to pause, stop, and listen. And so listening happens lots of different ways. It could be in your journal. It could be in your prayer time. It's sitting in the shower. It's going for your run, wherever. It might be something that a spouse says to you or a colleague, but you have to take the time to listen.
You know, I get the best ideas in the shower. I feel like the Lord is literally raining on me when I'm in the shower. He's just like, shh. Just like huge, like just dumps on me when I'm in the shower, and I'm like, wait, I get right when I'm in the shower. But yes, it's so important for you to set aside that time to get quiet, to block out all of the noise of day-to-day life so that you can actually listen to the still small voice within you telling you what it is that you are designed to do. Now, a lot of people, a lot of my clients come to me because, you know, one of the things that I work with is on clarity, clarifying your purpose. And a lot of people come to me and they're like, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, the truth of that, really and truly, everyone knows what their purpose is. What has happened is it's gotten buried. It's gotten pushed down by life. And so sometimes you have to just do a little digging. You have to do some uncovering. You have to do some unpacking so that you can get back to the thing, because, you know, it's like having a callus on it, because life can be rough. Life can be difficult. And so we thicken it around the thing that is most precious to us, to protect it, to the point where sometimes you forget that it's even there because you've gotten so accustomed to the callus that's there. And so sometimes you just need to smooth that on back, remove all the old dead stuff, all those calluses, so that you can get back to the seed of purpose that's on the inside of you. And you will see that later on, you know, later on, like once you actually start moving in that thing, you will start to see the thread throughout your entire life. It's like, oh, I did know this. I knew this way back when I was 6 years old or 7 years old or however old you were when the first time you did something that was connected to the thing God created you to do. So I am totally with you there. One last thing before, two things before we close out, share with my listeners your favorite quote or motto.
Oh, that's easy. What would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail?
Yes, I love that one.
Was the question I asked myself when I decided to quit my job and move to Italy. What would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail? Because a lot of times it's fear that holds us back.
Right.
It's not the decision. It's the fear of, you know, what if I fail? What if I succeed? What if they laugh at me? What if they, you know, what are they thinking about me trying fill in the blank? What if I go back to school and I fail? What if I go back to school and I flunk out? What if I go back to school and I've been out too long and I don't know how to study? I don't know how to write. Then what's going to happen to me? Or you have the converse, well, what if I succeed and I get the new job and will I be able to manage people and then what will happen? And, you know, it's going to be too hard on my family and I have to work really hard hours. Like, we can take this thing all the way out and then run it back, right? But the interesting thing is the way that our brain is wired with the subconscious and the conscious, the subconscious doesn't know what's real and what's not real. So if you're feeding it, the fear, it's going to think, oh my gosh, I got to live in fear. But if you're feeding it life and faith, then it's going to be like, okay, it's all good. Because the two can't reside in the same spot.
That's right.
Fear and faith cannot live in the same place. And, you know, it's scriptural and it's also physiology. You know, you cannot have cognitive dissonance. You can't have two opposing thoughts in the same mind.
Right.
And so I often, even to this day, I will still ask myself that question. All right. So if I couldn't fail, if it, you know, it's going to be successful, what would it look like?
Wow. I love that. Yes. I love, that's one of my favorite quotes too. Something that those are words to live by.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, those are definitely words to live by. Well, this has been so awesome. Lacey, tell everyone how they can connect with you. If they want to hear more about the seven pitfalls of lady leaders, or they want to learn more about your events, where can they get that information?
Absolutely. So you can find me online at drlacey.com. Again, that's drlacey.com. And also there are ways you can learn about events, other products that I have, my consulting services. So I am a speaker and author. So that's definitely a way we can connect. And then online, on all social platforms, I am Dr. Lacey C. Robbins. Dr. Lacey C. Robbins, all one word. And so you can definitely find me there. I mostly hang out in IG. But you can find me everywhere, Twitter, LinkedIn, so on and so forth. So yeah, I'd love to connect. And you know, for your audience, because I really am so grateful to have this opportunity to connect with you, I have a special course called Unlimited Happiness. Even if you're in a job you hate or you're still just trying to figure it out, and it typically is $99, but for your listeners, I have a 50% off coupon code of promise that they can be able to go and download that for themselves and start immediately today.
That's so awesome. So that was, I'll put all of this in the show notes, but that was coupon code PROMISE.
Yes.
And the link to the how they access the program, is that on drlacey.com as well?
It is. It's on drlacey.com. Okay. Or you can even visit drlacey.com/click. C-L-I-C-K, and it says Learn with Dr. Lacey, and you can find it there as well.
Okay, that is so awesome. Thank you so much for offering that to my listeners. This is so
welcome. My pleasure.
I appreciate that. It has been a blast, as always, chatting with you. Of course, you know, we do this all the time, but it's really cool to have my podcast listeners get a little inside view into kind of our regular life, because we have these conversations multiple times a week, sometimes multiple times a day, just because stuff is always happening. And, you know, when you've got your business bestie, your accountability partner, you want to share all the yummy goodness. And then also sometimes we need a prayer warrior. Someone's like, listen, I'm on the edge. Talk me off the edge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. So thank you again for being on the show today. It has truly been a pleasure, as always, to chat with you.
Thank you. And, it's been my pleasure.
And sorry, my phone started ringing.
Okay, that's letting us know we've been on too long.
But anyway,
thank you so much for the opportunity, and I really appreciate it. And I look forward to connecting with some more of your listeners.
Awesome. Thank you all. And I will see you next time, or hear you. You'll listen next time. I don't know how to say that. But anyway, until next time, have a great one.